live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the main evening news at 5 o'clock on Highland Radio. I'm Daniel Brennan. In this bulletin, the MICA Action Group Chair has told Naroctus Committee she believes the government tried to divide the country against MICA homeowners with the concrete levy.
It was a tactic to try and divide.
The head of the Construction Industry Federation has also said at that meeting he believes there was no regulation on concrete block production at all when MICA homes were built.
I don't think there was any regulation.
A community support officer from Donegal County Council has been appointed to Chrysla to help those affected by the tragedy this week. And further progress has been made in a redesign of Letterkenny's Market Square.
We have very ambitious plans for Letterkenny.
We'll have those stories in full and a lot more coming up over the next half hour. Also, Oisin Kelly will be here with all the latest in sport from a quarter past five. To this evening's main stories, and the chairperson of the MICA Action Group says the government is trying to divide the country over the MICA redress scheme. Lisa Hone was the homeowner representative at today's Oireachtas Committee meeting about the controversial concrete levy, which was introduced in Budget 2023 and intended to fund MICA redress. She was joined by reps from the Construction Federation of Ireland, as well as the Chartered Surveyors of Ireland, in giving evidence to the committee today. Responding to a question from Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, Lisa Hone says the concrete levy was intended to divide the country over the MICA crisis and take attention away from the construction industry, as well as producers of defective blocks.
It has been said, this is going to cost you 2.7 billion, and then this levy comes in. You're going to have to pay for this. Do you get a sense, is this about turning the solidarity of the wider community in Ireland against homeowners? Is that the sense that is in Donegal?
Unfortunately, I have to say, in terms of the way it was interpreted, was that there was this sort of insidious undertone to it. Almost, oh, look, these MICA homes, they're going to cost you this much. And it felt at the time like it was a tactic to try and divide the country into those who were affected and those who weren't affected, and why should we have to pay for your homes? But I come back again to the root cause. That's what it's about. It's not the affected homeowners that are costing the taxpayer. It's the failure of regulation, the lack of governance, and the lack of accountability. And as I said in my statement, there is literally nothing in place as we speak today to deter this happening again. There are no consequences for the offenders. The governance hasn't changed. We're not seeing that. So effectively, you have got the same situation today that you had when the defective products were produced. So, and on we go, and on we go. So, you know, like, it's no exaggeration when I say that taxpayers are being asked to sign a blank check, because the government is not acknowledging the root cause of this issue, and there is no appetite to chase the offenders, and there is no appetite to amend the governance. There needs to be independent regulation. How can a government sit back morally and allow this to continue?
The head of the Construction Industry Federation says whatever actions are taken by government to recover the cost of the defective block scheme, the reality is that the bulk of the burden will still ultimately fall on the taxpayer. Answering questions from Deputy Mick Barry, Tom Parlin acknowledged there was no regulation in terms of concrete block manufacture, and that was a major issue. He says there's been fault in many areas, but stressed that builders bought blocks in good faith. He told Deputy Barry the construction industry has made and will continue to make a significant contribution.
There's a whole lot of people to blame, but certainly, Deputy Barry, the industry would be making a massive contribution in terms of doing what it's doing and is currently doing that.
I listened carefully to Lisa Hone's comments, and I think that she did shine a light on the role of the individual companies who supplied the defective blocks. But I also think she pinpointed what she very colourfully and correctly described as the disgraced regime of self-regulation. Would you agree with the comment that the regime of self-regulation has been a disgrace?
I don't think there was any regulation with regard to concrete blocks at the time, which was certainly a major deficit in government policy. Yet the bulk of block manufacturers throughout the country, in every small town and small block manufacturing quarry and pit around the country, made good quality blocks, and those houses are all there to the good. Clearly, mica is a naturally occurring substance. Perhaps the manufacturers weren't aware of its presence, but they would have had an obligation, whoever is producing any material, that is fit for purpose. And I can understand why people would kind of say, well, the industry, like, of course, somebody should pay. Eventually, it's going to be every taxpayer in the country is going to pay. But if you point at the industry, and the industry says, well, look, I was very careful where I bought my blocks, I was very careful who I buy my concrete from, I trust them ultimately, and if there's a problem, I'll be able to go back after them, and so on. You might be going back after a small project that went wrong. Going back with a couple of billion bill is a different category.
The idea of providing modular homes for mica homeowners was raised at this week's sitting of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District. Councillor Michael McBride previously called for representations to be made to the Housing Department to provide alternative temporary accommodation solutions. He's now called for a delegation to travel to Dublin to put the case forward.
The department seems to have knocked it on the head. They don't want to know about it. I'm not happy with the answer. I don't think the rest of the councillors are happy with the answer either. And I asked that we would look for a delegation from Donegal County Council to go back to the Minister looking for these houses to be built in Donegal so people can move into them when they have to move out of their own houses to have them rebuilt or repaired from mica. So I think it's very straightforward. I told them, I said, we have to get on the road. I said, we can't take no for an answer. We have to be proactive. We can't sit back anymore. The people have been very patient who have mica, but I think there's, at this point in time, they're starting to get angry, because they can see that they've been totally ignored.
Donegal County Council has appointed a community support officer to Chrysla to help all of those affected by the Chrysla tragedy. With more, here's Donal Kavanagh.
The support officer is in place as of this afternoon and will be in place again tomorrow and on Friday from 10am to 4pm at the Wild Atlantic campsite in Chrysla. Donegal County Council says the support officer will act as a link for any council-related queries and follow-ups, and the service will continue into next week, depending on demand. Alongside this announcement, the council also says the Irish Red Cross will be attending a town hall meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening in the Chrysla Community Centre to consult on their ongoing work and future plans for the area.
Also, an additional bus service is to be rolled out in Chrysla next week to service those who have been cut off as a result of the main road through the village remaining closed following the explosion almost 3 weeks ago. Local Link is to provide additional provisions for those in and around the Chrysla area for a number of days per week. Councillor Micheál Colm McGillagh-Osmig says there's the potential to extend the service.
We're starting off with a service which will be a couple of days, 2 days a week, we'll say. The finer details have to be just ironed out a wee bit, and hopefully that'll be done today. With the service getting busier, which I imagine it will get busier, Local Link are more than open to the idea of putting on a five-day service. We do know that there are other bus services servicing that area. This is, a short-term solution trying to support a community that I couldn't even try to imagine what they're going through.
The Environment Minister has signed off on new solid fuel regulations, banning the advertising and sale of turf online or from retail units. However, Eamon Ryan says people with turf cutting rights will still be able to cut their own supply, sell it privately or gift it to family and friends. The regulations also allow only the lowest polluting solid fuel products to be sold in Ireland. Minister Ryan says this will reduce the worst effects of air pollution, including stroke, heart disease, lung cancer, asthma and even early death. The regulations will take effect from Monday. The Northern Secretary is holding talks with Stormont leaders as a deadline calling for a new election in the North nears. Chris Heaton-Harris has repeatedly warned he'll hold new elections in December if Friday's deadline passes without an executive being formed. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says there cannot be direct rule from Westminster in the event of power sharing not being restored this week. Today, DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson said the Assembly can't be trusted with protecting the identity of unionists.
During the centenary year of Northern Ireland, refused to allow us to put up a little rock in the grounds of Stormont, a little stone, to commemorate the fact that Northern Ireland was 100 years old, refused to allow us to plant a rose, Dame Eleanor, to mark the jubilee of Her Majesty the Queen, and yet the Minister expects us to have confidence that the same Assembly will protect our identity when it won't even allow us to mark our identity.
A Donegal deputy says students from Donegal attending universities in Northern Ireland are being discriminated against. Students travelling from the county to the likes of Galway will receive a 50% rebate as part of the Leap Card scheme. However, if they're travelling to the north, no such rebate is available. Deputy Joe McHugh believes a solution is attainable.
I do believe it's a case of discrimination against students. The case is, if you're a student in West Donegal and you're going to Galway, and if you have a LEAP card, you will get upwards on 50% rebate on your cost of transportation to Ullskoul and the Gaillard. But if you're from that same parish in the west of Donegal, and if you're going to Belfast, you don't get the rebate. There is some sort of a nominal rebate up as far as the border, but once the bus hits that border, there's no rebate. I am encouraged with some of the discussion that I've seen on some correspondence, that there are ongoing discussions. And I really do think heads need to be put together here, because students do feel discriminated against.
The time is approaching 12 minutes past five. We'll take a short break, and Sport with Oisín's coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15, time to go over to the sports desk and Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Daniel. We're going to start with colleges football. The ATU Donegal picked up their first win of the CUFL Men's Premier Division this afternoon, beating Dundalk IT 4-1 at Oriel Park in Dundalk. ATU were 4-0 up in the game, with the goals coming from Damien Duffy, Connor Black, Gabby Aduka and Owen Brogan. Shane Byrne's side will play their first home game of the campaign next week, and that will be against TU Dublin. It's a busy evening on both the Gaelic Games and basketball front for the other teams from the ATU Donegal. There's a doubleheader on the basketball courts at the Ara Leisure Centre, with the men's and the women's up against Griffith College of Dublin. And then there's a triple header this evening at the Tyrone GA Centre in Garvahy, with the ATU Donegal playing St Mary's of Belfast in the Ladies League Division 3, the Men's Fresher League Division 1, and the Men's Senior Football League Division 1. The Ladies and the Freshers game start at 6, and the Senior Men's game is up and running at 7:30. All those sides looking to follow suit and continue on the winning way after the men's soccer result earlier today. Now to cricket. Ireland captain Andy Balbirnie says they need to be back up this morning's historic win over England at the T20 World Cup. Balbirnie top scored with 62 as Ireland set their opponents a target of 158 at the MCG in Melbourne. England reached 105 for 5 after 14 overs when they stopped play, with Ireland declared the winners by 5 runs via the Duckworth-Lewis method. A huge result for Ireland, an historic result for Ireland. Balbirnie says they'll need to refocus quickly for the next tie on Friday against Afghanistan.
It's amazing, and it's kind of emotional, because we've never played a game of cricket here, and to come here and play the tournament favourites with so many big names in the game and put on a show in front of friends, family and a number of people around the world is very satisfying. We had a great week in Hobart last week, and then to do this at one of the most amazing cricket grounds in the world is pretty special. We have Afghanistan here on Friday, so quite a quick turnaround. We have taken a bit of momentum with us, and hopefully we can have a good weekend and get through that.
Champions League football. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp claims to be unconcerned by their poor away form this season. They're in Amsterdam tonight, needing just a point from their game with Ajax to book a Champions League last 16 place. Liverpool's only away win has come against Rangers, but Klopp hasn't given much thought to their issues on the road.
No, I have not thought about it, to be honest. It's nothing. It's my mind at the moment. I'm not sitting here and think about we have away a problem, and that's why I have to say something special. I prepared the team for a very important football game, and sorry, but I'm not prepared for this question in this moment. I had other things to do the last few days.
Elsewhere in the group, Napoli will secure top spot with a win at home to Rangers this evening. And Tottenham lead the standings in Group D ahead of their meeting with Sporting. A win would guarantee their place in the last 16 and also keep them top of the section. Spurs defender Ben Davis said it would be great to achieve the achievement of qualifying with a game to spare.
It's very important. I think it's probably the most important game we've had in the group. It'll be important to try and finish the job tomorrow and put us in a position to go to Marseille without needing to get a result.
All the games involving the cross-channel sides tonight start at 8 o'clock. And finally, just staying with more football, the race for a place in the SSE or Trusted League Premier Division heats up tonight. The First Division playoffs get underway with runners-up Waterford away to Treaty United, and Longford Town host Galway United in the other semi. Both games start 7:45. The second legs of both ties will take place this coming weekend. That's your sport, Daniel.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news now, and Donegal County Council has approved Part 8 of planning for the reimagined Market Square project in Letterkenny Town Centre. Some changes have been made to the provision of taxi ranks as well as disabled parking spaces, including the retention of the taxi rank outside the Market Centre. The Chief Executive's report, which followed a public consultation, stressed that the needs of pedestrians are being prioritised, and that will mean some changes. Today's decision paves the way for detailed plans to be drawn up, with hopes that work can begin next year. Liam Ward is Donegal County Council's Director of Planning.
This is a project that has been underway for some time, and we've carried out quite a considerable public consultation. Obviously, we're trying to meet the needs of everybody that comes into the town of Letterkenny from a business point of view, from the taxis point of view, and also obviously people that live in the area and come into the area for various reasons.
Is this an indication of the importance of consultation? Because that taxi issue could have proved an issue in the future. What happened was there was a consultation, points were made, you discussed it, the members discussed it, agreement was reached, and here we are.
Yeah, I think it certainly points the way in terms of carrying out any projects of a significant nature. The clear message here, you need to consult and you need to listen. And I think we've done that. We have very ambitious plans for Letterkenny. We are launching a major regeneration strategy for the town on the 5th of December. The Market Square is one project within that, but there are a range of other ones. And in order to deliver those projects, which hopefully will have long-lasting benefits for the town of Letterkenny and indeed the wider area, we need to have the public on board, we need to have businesses on board, and we need to communicate, we need to consult, and then obviously take on board what has been said to us.
In terms of a timeline for this development, have you any ideas to when we'll actually see work begin on this new Market Square project?
Our next piece of work following the granting of approval this morning is to carry out detailed design and then to appoint a contractor to carry out the work. I would certainly like to think, Donald, that, as they say, we will see shovels in the ground in early 2023.
And finally, the Dáil has been told that recent figures published by the Donegal Rape Crisis Centre show the need for improved sexual and relationship education from primary school on. The centre returned the highest number of under-18s seeking help, with many of them reporting they had been physically and sexually assaulted by their peers. Deputy Thomas Pringle told Taoiseach Micheál Martin that boys in particular must be taught about consent from an early age.
Last week saw the Donegal Rape Crisis Centre report that it had 38 teenagers use their services in 2022, the highest level anywhere in the country. Taoiseach, one of the main issues that was highlighted is the lack of proper education for children in this area. We need a real sexual awareness teaching, and I would say that it has to start for all children in primary school at this stage.
Relationship and sexuality education is available at primary level and post-primary level. Those reports are very worrying that you've received from the Donegal Rape Crisis Centre. I agree with the points you've made.
Weather now, blustery this evening with sunny spells and scattered showers, some heavy. It'll be dry with clear spells at first overnight, but cloudier conditions will extend from the south later with showery or breaks of rain. Lowest temperatures of 8 to 11 degrees overnight tonight. And to this evening's main stories once again, the Mica Action Group chair has told an Oireachtas committee she believes the government tried to divide the country against Mica homeowners with the concrete levy. The head of the Construction Industry Federation has also said at that meeting he believes there was no regulation on concrete block production at all when Mica homes were built. A community support officer from Donegal County Council has been appointed to Cresla to help those affected by the tragedy this week, and further progress has been made in a redesign of Letterkenny's Market Square. That's all from the news desk for now. I'll be back with headlines at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening.
The Opportune Notices for this Wednesday evening, the 26th of October. The death has taken place of Una Mooney, née Leddon, Swilly Road, Buncrana, formerly of Balnamore, County Leitrim. Her remains will repose at her residence from 5:30 this evening.
Funeral from there on Friday morning at 20 past 10 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Colm Doherty, Stonywood, Cooldaff. Removal from Liam Collins' funeral premises this evening at 8 o'clock, going to his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Buchan Cooldaff, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Colm's funeral mass can be viewed live on cooldaffparish.com. The death has taken place of Seamus Strain, Forker, Milford. Seamus will repose at his brother Sean's residence at Moyle Road, Milford, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock this evening and again from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow. Requiem Mass in St Peter's Church, Milford, on Friday morning at 11, followed by interment in Milford Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Coleman Fox, 3A, Fern Hill, Glencar, Letterkenny, formerly of Glanworth, County Cork. Reposing at his late residence this evening until 9 o'clock with Rosary at 9. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to St Eunan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv, followed by interment in Conwall Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Archview Lodge Residence Comfort Fund, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Kevin Martin, 41, Crohan Heights, Lifford, formerly of Athlone. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Marlock, Lifford, at 11. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at clonleyparish.com. And the death has taken place of Paddy Ward, Kilclooney, Portnew, reposing at his home today and tomorrow. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 to St Connell's Church, Kilclooney, at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.